bracing for impact.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The White House says President Barack Obama is expecting today's employment report for March to show additional severe job cuts here in the United States. That report is expected in just a few hours. Of course, reversing the global economic fallout was the theme of the group of 20 leaders who met in London this week. Nations pledged tougher regulations on everything from banks to hedge funds and to pump more money into the International Monetary Fund. One way they'll do that is with what some say could become a global currency called special drawing rights, or SDRs. Our man in London, Stephen Beer, joins us to explain. Okay, Stephen, what are these SDRs?
Well, this is the IMF's sort of currency, SDR, special drawing right. Its value is based on a basket of national currencies. So the value of the SDR doesn't fluctuate as wildly as individual currencies like the dollar, the yen, or the euro. So it's more stable and, more to the point, it's a currency which the IMF can control.
So, Stephen, the SDR is playing a bigger role now as a result of yesterday's decision, right, to create more of these.
That's right. I mean, we learned the IMF are going to be allowed to create an extra $250 billion worth of SDRs. This has been described as printing money. All IMF member countries will get an allocation of these SDRs. So the effect of this decision yesterday will be to increase the global money supply and considerably enhance the role of the SDR in the international monetary system.
But how do we get from that to a global currency?
Well, it is quite a leap and clearly will take a great deal of time. But, I mean, there's some interesting developments here. Russia has been pressing for SDRs to be turned into a full reserve currency to be held by central banks alongside their gold and dollar holdings. They didn't get it on the agenda yesterday, but it's something that the Chinese are apparently also interested in. And the Chinese have reportedly agreed to pump a lot of cash into the IMF on the understanding that the next boss of the IMF won't be a European or an American. So we're beginning to see the IMF, this entity which has always been viewed as a kind of American construct, we're beginning to see the emergence perhaps of a global entity controlling perhaps a global currency one day, the SDR.
Okay. Stephen Beard, our European correspondent, joining us from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Well, European shares are mixed today. FTSE's pretty much flat, slight gains in Asia. U.S. markets rallied yesterday after the Financial Accounting Standards Board eased mark-to-market rules. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P shares rose by an average of 3%. Time to play ball at the brand spanking new Citi Field in New York. The Mets host the Red Sox there tonight, and the Baseball Players Union is hoping for a home run in its experiment with a new retail concept. They have a store dedicated not to any specific team, but to star players. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
The Players Clubhouse will be on the second deck of Citi Field, behind Section 327. The store will be set up like a locker room and filled with jerseys, mugs, and bobblehead dolls. But unlike the usual Major League Baseball store, every object must include a star player's name or likeness. Maury Brown is president of the Business of Sports Network.
Fantasy baseball is a large part of this. In that respect, you're following a player irrespective of what team they're on.
The union uses the money to operate, then divides what's left over evenly among players. Brown says the players' union is taking advantage of a new trend in baseball. Fans increasingly follow players rather than teams.
The minute a player's name is associated with a piece of merchandise, the Players Association gets a cut of that.
Baseball is following the lead of basketball, which glamorizes its big stars. The union hopes to bring the Players Clubhouse concept to other stadiums soon. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
With record job losses and a stalled economy, these are the times of frugality. And this is a new sound of grocery shopping.
Well, here we've got a bag of potato chips. It's $3.49 retail, folks, right there on it. It's all fresh and in date. Somebody give me a dollar and a half, dollar and a quarter. Dollar bid, dollar and a quarter, dollar and a quarter, dollar and a half.
Auctioneers have seen the demand for other items drop. Not so much interest in baseball cards or estate jewelry anymore. What do people want to bid on? Food, toilet paper, candy bars. Kirk Williams owns Colonel Kirk's Auction Gallery in Pennsylvania. And when he held his first grocery auction last month, hundreds showed up. So, Mr. Williams, welcome. What gave you this idea?
Well, Steve, we were doing new merchandise auctions, and my consigners were bringing snacks and chips and candies and stuff like that. And they were doing very well at auction. So I said to my my haulers, gee, if you guys could bring, you know, frozen foods and meats and cheeses and cereals and stuff, I think we could have a grocery auction. So finally, after 3 years of kind of salting the oats, they decided to bring it all together, and now we're having grocery auctions.
But why an auction for groceries? I think of cars, I think of homes. Groceries?
Yes. Well, you know, there's a lot of groceries out there that are close-date merchandise that the warehouses have no idea how or where to get rid of them. And this is exactly what we're doing. We're taking frozen foods out of the frozen food warehouse, bringing it on a 10-degree below zero refrigerated truck right to the site and handing it out to the people. We're selling it right direct to the people.
So people believe they're getting a good deal on this. They're obviously okay to forego the dates, the best buy dates and all of that?
Well, a best buy date is merely a date when it's at its peak of freshness. For instance, let's go back 3-4 years ago where we only had best buy dates on milk, bread, and eggs. And now we have best buy dates on water. Now, come on. Now, we all know water doesn't expire at a certain date. It's not an expiration date. It's a best buy date.
So there's nothing unhealthy about this?
Absolutely not. We're all, you know, we're inspected by the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. You know, they've given us the green thumb on it, and we're good to go.
Sounds like this is a pretty good stimulus package for you. How lucrative is this for you?
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, it's helped my auction business considerably. It's added additional auction staff. We go into an area, we'll rent fire halls and social halls and put money into the area also in their rentals as well as the food concessions. We're bringing together 300 to 400 people in auction.
Well, auctioneer Kirk Williams from Pennsylvania. Kirk, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.